Today we're going to be speaking about the progress of revelation in the scriptures. And this is a concept of how God revealed himself and his truth to mankind. And the idea of progressive revelation indicates that God did not reveal the whole Bible all at once. I think we all understand that. It came over a period of 1300 to 1500 years or so, and it was revealed by many different human authors. But the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of the entire book. Dwight Pentecost defined progressive revelation as the recognition of God's message to man, that it was not given in one simple act, but was unfolded in a long series of successive acts and through the minds and hands of many men of varying backgrounds. There were lots of authors that God used, to human authors, to pen this book. Some were apostles, some were fishermen, some were farmers, some were theologians, all different backgrounds. And God chose to reveal his word gradually over many centuries. And the Bible speaks of the progress of revelation throughout the ages, and we have hints of it in various passages. For example, in Acts 17 and verse 30, it said, "In ages past, God winked at the ignorance of the Gentiles, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So that indicates to us that the Gentiles in ages past didn't understand, they didn't have the truth and revelation that we now have today. And thus, Gentiles today are more accountable than in ages past. John's gospel begins by saying that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the age of law and all of those related revelations came through Moses. And Jesus came to introduce a new way, the grace way. The book of Hebrews tells us that God, at sundry times and in diverse manners, hath spoken in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So God didn't reveal all of his plan and all of these truths all at once. God has maintained a continuity of revelation to mankind throughout the centuries. And the former revelations were incomplete. Now, we don't mean that they were faulty in the sense that they were not true, and the progress of revelation is sort of gaining more and more accuracy. The old prophecies were 100% true and accurate, and as God revealed more, they became more and more complete. We get a better picture of God's plan for the ages. So we don't want to think of the progress of revelation from error to truth. That's not what we mean. It was truth revealed very briefly, and then it was added to and complemented with other truths that gave us a fuller picture. Sometimes truth was revealed by God in germ form, seed form, and then was added to later. For example, we have an early seed picture, if you will, of the promise of a redeemer or a savior in Genesis chapter 3:15, that seed of the woman. And that concept of a seed is added to as revelation progressed. God gave more information about this coming Redeemer all throughout the Old Testament, and then it's fully developed in the New Testament. We also see that God's requirements for mankind may be added to as time goes on, and sometimes they might even be changed. For example, God added to the prophecy or the covenant that he gave to Abraham. He revealed, he made the Abrahamic covenant. He made some wonderful promises to Abraham about his seed and the nation coming and of the land that God would give to him. And then we read in the book of Galatians that God added the law to what Abraham had already said. So the addition of the law did not make the Abrahamic covenant null and void. It didn't do away with it. It was simply adding more information, more revelation from the Lord, more truth. And the progress of revelation takes place over time, over many centuries. So when we think of this, think of Old Testament saints. They were godly men and women. They loved the Lord. They believed God. They believed whatever truth God had revealed to them. But no matter how godly they were, they did not understand New Testament truth. There was no possible way for them to understand New Testament truth. And we shouldn't expect them to understand what we understand today with the revelation of the New Testament. And Old Testament saints shouldn't be judged on the basis of the revelation that we have today. They're not held accountable for truth that God didn't reveal to them. God only holds men accountable for the light that they have received. So we want to avoid that old Augustinian blunder where Augustine taught that the New Testament is in the old concealed and the old is in the new revealed. Now, there is an element of truth in that, and that's true in some ways. We see the sacrifices hinted ahead to the coming of Christ and his ultimate one sacrifice. And we see types and illustrations in the Old Testament. But that's not true of everything. Church truths revealed in the New Testament were not in the Old Testament concealed. They weren't in the Old Testament at all. In fact, the term that Paul uses in the New Testament to describe these church truths is a mystery. And it means something that has been unveiled. So if God did not take the veil off these truths, it was a secret that was known in the mind and heart of God, but in ages past, he never revealed it. So nobody in the Old Testament, no matter how godly they were, had any hint, any idea of this coming church age. It was a complete mystery, hidden, not revealed to the sons of men in ages past. And these truths, these mystery truths included Christ and the church in Ephesians chapter 5. That mysterious relationship between Christ and this spiritual body was not revealed in ages past. Or as Paul wrote to the Colossians, Christ in you. Now, Christ, they had no idea in the Old Testament that the Messiah would live inside them. That would have been an odd concept for the Old Testament saints. There's no way they could have known it. It's called a mystery. And nor did Old Testament saints know that Jews and Gentiles would be made one in one body, that they would be fellow heirs together of the same promise. That was totally incomprehensible to Old Testament saints. It was not revealed. And nor is the mystery of godliness, this New Testament form of sanctification based on the indwelling of Christ. There was no way for David to know that, or Moses. The rapture was a mystery. The partial blindness of Israel during this age is called a mystery. It was not revealed. So these truths were not in the Old Testament concealed or hidden or hard to find, hard to discover. They weren't there at all. And God had his own purpose for his own timetable. So he gradually revealed truth with the unfolding of his plan and as the dispensations progressed through time as well. And so we want to avoid the blunder of assuming that Old Testament saints understood many of the truths that we know as Christians today. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart. He was justified by faith, just like Father Abraham. He was saved, no question about it, but he didn't get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for his sins and rose again on the third day. David didn't believe that. Abraham didn't either. We read in Genesis chapter 6, that Abraham believed God, not Jesus, but he believed God, whatever revelation he had about the Lord at that time, he believed God. He believed what God said, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, God never revealed the Trinity. It was not understood by Old Testament saints, and certainly not by Abraham. He didn't even have the Old Testament. So Abraham didn't put his faith in Jesus Christ, but he did believe in God and whatever God had said up to that point. So just think of this. Abraham didn't have the Old Testament. Obviously, he didn't have the New. But God did reveal some things to Abraham orally. And we read in Genesis 15, and I quote here, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell or count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." So God took Abraham out to see the night sky, and he pointed him up to the sky and said, "Abraham, count the stars if you can. That's how many your seed will be, your descendants will be." And then instantly we read in the very next verse, Abraham believed God. He believed what God said. He believed what God said about his seed being as many as the stars of heaven. He believed God's promise about that coming seed, and he was justified by faith. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. So we shouldn't expect Old Testament saints to know or to live by the New Testament principles and truths that we know today. In fact, David didn't know about Jesus dying and rising again, and neither did Abraham, but we go all the way into the gospel period, and a good portion of the way through the Lord's earthly ministry, and his own 12 apostles didn't believe that he was going to die and rise again. In fact, in Matthew 16, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus." He just began to say this for the first time. And then he goes on to say that he should be killed and raised again on the third day. So up to that point, the Lord had never revealed to his disciples that when he went into Jerusalem, he was going to be killed and that he would rise again the third day. And you know what Peter's response was? "Oh, yes, Lord, this is what we've always believed." No, Peter said, "This be shall not be unto thee. Far be it from thee, Lord." Peter didn't believe that Jesus was going to die and rise again on the third day. He didn't have that revelation from the Lord. Or whatever was hinted in the Old Testament, he wasn't able to put together those pieces. So we shouldn't expect Old Testament saints to understand all the wonderful truths that we have in the New Testament. So the progress of revelation is just that unfolding piecemeal, line by line, precept upon precept. God reveals a little to a prophet here in this century, a little more in the next century, and over time, the revelation is beginning to add up and pile up, and it was put into writing. And eventually, we have today, we have the completed canon of Scripture, and the canon has ceased in our day and age. So the progress of revelation actually ceased when the New Testament was put together 2,000 years ago. It will continue again in the millennial kingdom. There will be prophets and they will be prophesying. But for today, in this book, God's Word, we have all we need for life and for godliness. God has gradually revealed this book to us line upon line, precept upon precept, and now we have all we need for our lives in the dispensation of the grace of God.